Thank you, Abby, very much. Abby didn't know, as I think quite a few of us didn't know until in good time, but Abby didn't know it was Pentecost Sunday until just, a few days ago? And she'd already put those songs together. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God incredible? Thank you very much, Abby. Wow, where to go? We haven't got long. I didn't know where I was going to start with. Now I definitely don't. So I'm going to just pick up on Paul's point, really. I can't tell you how important the Holy Spirit is. I can't emphasize it enough. You know, if I asked you the question, why did Jesus come? Most of you would say straight away, he came, to save us. He came to die on the cross for our salvation. Absolutely. You know, the Bible, if you look, there's lots of reasons why Jesus came. To save the lost, save sinners. You know, he came for many different reasons. He came that we might have life in abundance. He came to proclaim freedom, didn't he? Recovery of sight for the blind. Set the oppressed free. There's lots of reasons, but I think actually the infilling of the Holy Spirit gets left on that off that list. And I think it was his very purposeful intention from the beginning of creation to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Jesus came to fill us with his Holy Spirit. John says, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that went to heaven. He said, unless I go to heaven, I can't send you the Holy Spirit. I've got to go to heaven. It's more beneficial for you, my disciples, if I go to heaven than if I stay on earth. It's a big statement. See, Jesus is confined to a body, isn't he? And an area. The Holy Spirit spread abroad for all mankind. It's incredible. Let me just read you some stuff. The Holy Spirit seals our kind of God's ownership of us. He's the one that kind of talks to our inner being and says that we belong to God. That's in Ephesians 1, Timothy 2, the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are sons of God. We are children of God. Holy Spirit reveals to Christians the deep things of God. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to confess that Jesus is Lord. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't confess Jesus is Lord. These are all scriptures. He's the one who sanctifies us, who continually turns us more into Christ's image. That's the Holy Spirit. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that enables us to kill the flesh. Bit of a weird term, but Romans 8 says that. Who transforms us into the image of Christ from glory to glory. Corinthians 3:18 says that. He's our guide. He leads us. He's our comforter. He brings forth fruit in our life. Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does that in us. He is our helper, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside. He is our encourager. He's our teacher, leads us into all truth. He acts as God's mouthpiece, revealing his word and his desires, John 16:12. The Holy Spirit reveals things yet to come. He reminds us of things like God's word, God's promises, etc. He stirs those up in us. So he speaks the truth to us. He's the revealer of Jesus. He gives understanding to God's word. He gives power for preaching. He gives supernatural spiritual gifts to minister to others. It's the Holy Spirit that will raise you up on the last day. Without the Holy Spirit, Romans 8 says, you cannot please God. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot call Jesus Lord, 1 Corinthians. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot bear spiritual fruit, John 15, verse 4. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot receive the Spirit of truth, John 14, 7. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ, Romans 8, verse 9. How important is the Holy Spirit in our lives? It's a bit kind of like, yep, got the picture, get it, absolutely vital, for my life. Isn't he? You need to read Acts 2. I haven't got time. It's astounding. You need to look up what Pentecost is about. Pentecost wasn't a New Testament event that happened. The Jews had been celebrating Pentecost for 1,500 years before Acts 2, every year. The Feast of Weeks is the first fruit offerings. It's amazing, the imagery, the kind of, what's the right word, Paul? Just the comparison of the two. The shadow, yeah, the shadow is incredible. We know the shadow of Passover, don't we? Jesus, the Lamb of God, dying on the very day that his nation sacrifices lambs and has done for centuries. They understand the lamb. They understand the need for sacrifice. They've been doing this for centuries. It's really, really, really key to their survival as a nation, to their forgiveness, to their relationship with God. There is no relationship with God outside of that. And Jesus comes, bang, on that day, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," John says. It's incredible. It's the same thing with Pentecost. Same kind of stuff. Amazing. Old covenant, Mount Sinai, God speaking to Israel, saying, "I'm going to make you my people. You are my people." Old covenant. You know, fire descending on the mountaintop. Yeah, it was a fearful thing. They couldn't go near the mountain. Israelites couldn't touch it. Moses could. No one else could. They would die if they touched this mountain. Trumpet blasts. Cloud, billowing cloud, lightning, thunder, fire falling. They were petrified. New Testament, new covenant. New Testament, the Holy Spirit falls in fire on all mankind. We're not stopped from going up to the mountain. It's not about Moses anymore. We can go. We can approach God. It's huge. It's beautiful. It's incredible. I haven't got time. Go and source it. Look at it. It's absolutely fantastic. Fantastic stuff. You know, this Holy Spirit, God, isn't concerned about just where you're going. He's more concerned about who you're becoming. The Holy Spirit is concerned about who you're becoming. Christ saved us, and we're so thankful, and we should never stop praising him for that. Christ saved us from our past life. The Spirit empowers us to live in the present life now. Let me say that again. Christ saved us from our past life. But the Spirit empowers us to live this life that God has created for us. Amen? I was thinking, when the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, all that time ago, beautiful, beautiful outworking of that, gift of tongues being poured out, fire on disciples' heads, powerful preaching, Peter gets up, the little Peter package does an amazing first preach, this is the birth of the church. It was the birth of a nation. Old covenant, it was the birth of the church, new covenant. It's amazing stuff. He preaches, 3,000 are saved. There's a link actually to 3,000 being killed in the Old Testament, but 3,000 being saved on that day. Amazing stuff. And I think this whole story with the disciples is, I'm going to leave you, but you are going to be my disciples. You are going to be witnesses. Great Commission. Have we got that up there somewhere, Katie? Great Commission. You're going to be my witnesses all over to the ends of the earth. Yeah? So he teaches them for three years. He teaches them. He shows them miracles. He empowers them to do miracles. He's just this master rabbi, this teacher. He's done incredible things with these disciples. They're all raring to go. And then he says, I don't know if you can read that. Can you read that? So you know the Great Commission. But then he says, you're not ready yet. You've got to wait here until you receive power from on high. Stay in Jerusalem until you're endowed with power from on high. My notes are everywhere. So he's commissioned them. He said, go into all the world. You know, make disciples. He's commissioned them because Jesus came. Probably the biggest one is John 3:16 because he loved the whole world. Has that changed? Does he still love the whole world? He loves the whole world. He came and brought salvation. But how? What is his plan to spread that good news? It's through me and you. It's through us. It was through his disciples. But they couldn't do it in their own strength. He knew it was too big. It just can't be done in their own strength. It has to be originated in God, flow from God in the power of his Holy Spirit. So he says, I need you to go into the whole world. You're going to transform the entire world for me. This church, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This little group of people is going to spread this message of I don't know, just amazing reconciliation with Father God. It's going to spread like wildfire across the planet. But it's going to go through you, and you need to wait here. Don't go running off yet. You have got to wait here until you receive power from on high. Until you receive all that you need to live this life and demonstrate this life and share what I've taught you to this world, you have got to stay here. You've got to. They stay there 10 days. You imagine waiting for 10 days. Christy and Elisha got caught out waiting at an airport for 6 hours yesterday. I'm sure they were really frustrated and bored and all the rest of it. You imagine waiting for 10 days. Have you ever been at an airport and really expecting, you know, you want your loved one or whatever to come through the gates, you're really excited, What would you be so excited after 10 days? Why would you wait there for 10 days? It's a long time. But they were waiting in the upper room for 10 days because Jesus said, don't think about leaving until you receive power from on high. And they did. And what happens? Bang, 3,000 people that day saved. Because it was a big festival. It was a pilgrimage because it was Pentecost. Lots of people would come into Jerusalem because of this feast. So they were all there. And they were spoken to in their own languages as the Spirit gave the gift of tongues to the disciples. Amazing stuff. But I think what's changed? Was the world back then in need of Jesus? In need of a Saviour? Absolutely. Was the world in Jesus' day in desperate need of the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Totally. It wouldn't have happened if not. What's the difference between then and now, apart from TV screens and fancy little microphones? What's the difference? The big difference is then there were 300,000 people on planet Earth, roughly, give or take a few. Today there's what, 7 billion? 7 point something billion? So the difference is there's an awful lot more people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's an awful lot more people today that need saving, and there's an awful lot more people that need empowering by the Holy Spirit to live their lives. Amen? What's the vehicle to take that to them? Me and you. It's the same vehicle. It's me and you. So I'm going to lose my notes now. So we're going to do something really daft. Can we sing that song? So can we sing it? We're going to sing a song to you. All right? Can I borrow your guitar, Abby? Sometimes you just know you have to do stuff that you so don't want to do. Oh, my goodness. Right. Mel, can you... Yeah, I think... Just play through it once, see how many people recognize it. Lift your hands if you recognize this. All right, you better stand up, actually. You're going to have to stand up to sing it. You ready? Love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. Love is a flag flying high from the castle of my heart, for the king is his place. Okay, we'll just start there. So it's love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. All right, I was this high when I learned this song. Is a flag flying high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. Is a flag flying high from the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there. So let it fly in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Thank goodness we've only got 5 minutes. Didn't need to sing that again. Oh my dear. Okay, what's all that about? Let's have a look at a flag. Can we show the first flag? You will know this flag. What's that make you feel like when it comes up? Way. Just give us a wave if you're American. Yeah. Okay. It's not upside down. No, it's folded. It's folded at the top. Okay, so this is the Union flag, Union Jack. So called because it combines the crosses of the three countries united under one sovereign. So that's the Kingdom of England and Wales. Don't ask, I can't explain it right now, but England and Wales, Scotland and Ireland. All right, so it's got this, the cross of St. George, England and Wales, cross of St. Andrew, who is patron saint of Scotland, and the cross of St. Patrick, so all combined. Okay? How does it make you feel? Come on! Proud, yeah? Very good. I'm glad. Whoa! Clapping the flag, amazing. What's it mean? You belong, it's your nationality, British. The bulldog, okay? Where can it be flown? Anyone can fly this flag. Yeah, anywhere. Anyone can fly the flag. It's amazing. But on royal wise, it's flown. Do you know when? Sorry? When the Queen is in residence in the palace. No. How interesting. It's flown for royal family on their birthdays, for Commonwealth Day, Coronation Day, Remembrance Day, state opening of Parliament. It's flown at half mast for death of a monarch and the funeral of a member of the Royal British Family and other national tragedies. So bombings and stuff, you might get this flag flown at half mast. It's flown when the Queen is not in residence. Over Buckingham Palace, Windsor Castle, and Sandringham. This flag is the royal standard. That flag is flown when the Queen is at residence. The royal standard. It's never flown at half mast because although there might be a death of a monarch, there is always a sovereign on the throne. As soon as king dies, queen dies, there is another king and queen. Hence the phrase, the king is dead, long live the king. It goes back to the days when monarchs actively fought in armed conflict and used standards to represent and identify themselves on the battlefield and on high seas. So the queen, when she's in residence, this flag will be flying. When she's in a car on an official visit, that flag will be flying. When she's on a plane, that flag will be flying somewhere. When she's on a boat, the yacht that she sold, that was flying on it. When she goes to a building, if she came into our church, and if we asked authority to, we could fly that flag over our building. And I just want to say, my question isn't whether you're British, or whether... Yeah, it's not whether you're British. It's whether the king's in residence. That's my question today. I'm not questioning if you're a Christian. Some of you may not be, but for most of you, I know you're Christians. So I'm not questioning that or whether you'll go to heaven or anything about that. I just want to pose the question, is the king in residence? Is the Holy Spirit in residence in the temple that your body is, like Scripture says? Because I was thinking about the temple, in Solomon's temple, and it was where God resided, in the Holy of Holies. It's where the king resided. But he didn't always reside there. Things happened. The temple got decimated, trashed. Abominations were set up in the temple. Different nations warred against the temple and conquered it. And destroyed it. So just because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, I don't believe it means that the Holy Spirit is reigning in our lives all the time. Does that make sense? He's in your life, I know that, but is he reigning in your life? If he's so important to all that we do, if he's so important for this great commission, if that's what we're placed on this earth for, to resonate with the heartbeat of God and to show his love and his salvation, grace and mercy to a lost world, if we are the vehicles to bind up the brokenhearted in his name, in his power, show Christ to people so that they're bound up their broken hearts, that their sight, when they're blind, they get their sight back. When they're in chains, that we see release and freedom from captives. We are his hands. It's not our power. It's not us. It's not about us. The glory doesn't go to us. But we are his mouthpiece. We are his hands to a dying world. And we have got to be filled with his Spirit, not just for our lives, but for living this life for him, for making this few years that we've got truly count, and bringing him the honor that he so deserves. Amen. You can do it. You know, it says eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That word, I won't go into it now, but the Greek is an amazing word on that desire. It's about jealousy. It's about passion. You know, it's even an onomatic, poetic word, which means it bubbles. It's like boiling water. There's an intensity, there's a heat, there's a passion about that. Eagerly desire. I was thinking about desire. I could find out what your desires are very easily just by going on your iPad and looking at what you're looking at on eBay. That's where your desire is, isn't it? Let's face it. Your desires are very easy. But normally desire is something we want. We want something. We're in love with something. It's for us. Do you know what I mean? That's what desire is, isn't it? It comes from us. Paul is saying here, eagerly desire. He's telling us what we need to be eagerly desiring. He's telling us what the desire of our hearts needs to be. He said, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And I think it's like, who's watched the Bear Grylls stuff on the desert island? I think it's like, if you haven't, forgive me, there's a TV reality show where some people are dropped off on a desert island and have to survive. I think Paul is saying, guys, I've got a machete. This is invaluable to you on that desert island. I've got a box of matches. It is going to save you tons and tons of time trying to make a fire. You know, I have got fishing equipment, which is just going to be, just transform your whole life when you're on that island. It will transform your life. Eagerly desire. Do everything that you can to get hold of this stuff that I'm offering you. Do not think you know better and turn around and walk out the door without it. You will not survive. You'll be ineffective. You'll go hungry. Life will be awful. And you won't be able to help anyone else. Eagerly desire this stuff that I'm telling you is of vital importance, because it is of vital importance. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It's for the edification of the whole church, but it's more than that. It is to transform this world. It's to do what I want you to do, what I've always wanted you to do from the beginning of time, since sin entered and deprivation and destruction and death and heaviness and darkness. I wanted to bring you out of that into light. I wanted to transform your lives. I wanted to save you. I wanted to bless you and restore you and bring that relationship back, that you can walk into my presence as children of God. I've longed for that. I've longed for it. I've put this plan into motion, and I've handed it over now to my sons and daughters to do it in the power of my Holy Spirit. We need to grab it. We need to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I am eagerly desirous for your gifts, because I want to transform this world for you. I want to count in my life. I want to get to the end and hear that voice say, well done, good and faithful servant. You carried my commission upon you. You learned that it's all about me, not about you. It's all about my grace, my favor, my power, my provision. And you eagerly desired those things so that you could bless a dying and hurt world. Folks, we can so easily lose this. We can so easily get into ruts, especially when you get older. You lose the passion, you lose the desire, like Esther was saying. God, give us back the passion of your heart. God, give us a burning passion for the lost. God, give us, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might be effective in the world around us. Amen. Shall we just pray? Father, thank you, Lord, that it's not massive stuff. It's not, Lord, it's not necessarily about us going and performing miracles. It's about us being obedient to your call. It's about us listening to you. It's about us, yes, being bold and daring to step out in you and seeing you coming behind with the miraculous, with the power, with the provision that we need. But it's our daily lives. It is our daily lives, Lord. It is meeting people in our workplaces, in the streets, in our family, Lord, and being open to be used by you. Father, I thank you that you take our small offering, Lord, and you transform it into something glorious. You bring the miraculous out of the day-to-day situations that we're living in. Father, open our eyes, open our hearts. Holy Spirit, we want to, Lord, repent of grieving you in our own hearts. We want to repent of just getting on with life and letting this slip, your great commission slip. Father, would you inspire us once more? Holy Spirit, would you fill us once more? Thank you for your gifts. Thank you that they're gifts you want to give us. Thank you for your provision, your goodness, your favor upon our life. Lord, you are amazing. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you cherish us, Lord. You sing over us. Father, you've got so much. You lay a banquet before us. Oh God, may we feast on your banquet, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, our time's gone. There was one song that Abby was going to do. Is that all right? If you need to go and grab kids, please do. Sorry that was a bit jumbled. If you want my proper notes, you can come and get them off me. Should we do it, Abby? Is that all right? Is that okay? Sorry? Abby's going to come and lead us quickly with a piece. So let's stand, shall we? If you do need to get children, do. If you haven't, if you kind of, this stuff is a bit new, you haven't experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which we need infilling every day, but there is a specific gift allocated to us of being filled with his presence for the first time. It's a separate salvation. It's a big thing. If you don't know what that's about, please come and talk to us. We would love to pray for you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if you know you've just become dry and you just know that you're not in the right place now with the things of the Spirit, then again, come and speak to us or speak to someone else. Ask them to pray for you and to stand with you in prayer that you might be filled afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
There must be more than this.
So as you go today, as you go from this place, I want you to think, what flag is flying over your head? Is it raised high? Because God's standard does not fly at half mast. It does not fly at half mast. And as you get into your cars, that standard is flying on your cars. As you go to work, that standard goes before you into your workplaces. As you live your lives with your family, that standard needs to be raised high and unashamedly over your heads. Amen. Child of God, son and daughter of the High King, ambassadors for him in his name to this lost world. Amen.
Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. 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 Stir it up in our hearts, Lord.